Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the tiny, rundown, haunted community theater.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you're listening, chances are you have a real ghost story, so share it with us. You can call in 855-853-4802 anytime. You can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes, access to the archive, become a premium subscriber, do that through Apple Podcasts, even try it for 3 days free, or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon with me today, and no surprise, we've got a story about a haunted theater.
Oh, I love haunted theaters.
There's
this is
so
awesome.
Many of them.
Are they all haunted? I think so.
I always get excited whenever I see a haunted theater story. Like, we shared my haunted theater story the other day. I don't remember what episode that was, what the name of the episode is, but it's my own little haunted theater story. Anyways, so listen to that if you haven't yet. So this one says, I live in a tiny rural community with a tiny rundown community theater. The building itself is old. Three-story school building, basement, ground floor, second floor. There have been multiple reports of ghosts in the physical forms of a child and a man, as well as the voice of a woman and other odd happenings. To our knowledge, no one has ever died in the building. See, I don't think that someone has to die in a building for it to be haunted. I think you can kind of move around to where you want to go.
I think so, too.
A lot of people say that they think that they go where they were happiest or where they're most drawn to in their life.
Yeah.
Theater.
That makes sense.
The only serious injury we are aware of actually happened to the uncle of one of the current board members / actors / volunteer because it's a community theater.
They
so
do
everybody's
everything.
Doing everything. And that was back in the 50s or 60s. The uncle, who was a preteen at the time, was heading down the stairs into the basement where the cafeteria was located. Being a boy, he was roughhousing with some of his friends. There is a pole that crosses over the stairs that is at just the right height that if you jump, you can catch it and swing off the last few steps, which I would have totally done as a kid.
Oh, that would have been my thing. Mm-hmm. I love doing that kind of stuff.
The uncle was doing this, slipped and fell and hit his head on the stairs. While it did not kill him, he did develop some neurological issues. As an older teen / adult, he was sent out of state to an assisted living facility. He lived to be well into his 70s, if I remember correctly. That makes me sad. I reiterate, this is a very small town. So maybe that would be a village. This incident is well known and remembered by some of the older residents. Many of the current theater volunteers even attended school in the building back in the day. My mother-in-law taught there in her early 20s and is now in her late 60s. Personally, I have only ever experienced a strange shadow, but there is always a sense of general unease in the building. I'm very aware that there could be perfectly mundane explanations for this. A trick of light could explain the shadow, and the feelings of unease could just be the result of being in an environment I find creepy, especially as it only happens when I'm alone or with very few people. When I saw the shadow, I was alone on the stage during a break in rehearsal and looking up into the booth. So I'm going to guess that's a sound booth. And therefore behind some very bright Fresnels. I'm not totally sure what a Fresnel is, but I think it has something to do with a lens or something, maybe on the spotlight. I'm not sure. So my eyes could have just been playing tricks on me. I heard some noises of someone moving about and thought it was just our light board operator. I even thought I saw her silhouette in the corner of the booth. Since we were the only two in the auditorium at the time, even though the booth is not accessible through the auditorium, it opens where a balcony would normally be. I called out to her to make some small talk. She didn't respond, and thinking she had just not heard me, I said her name again. This whole time, I had been staring at what I thought was her silhouette, behind and a little to the left of the Fresnel. I assumed she was working on it. Right about that time, I did get a little peeved that she was ignoring me. And then she walked in the auditorium door. Now, the shadow had not moved all this time, and the booth is upstairs, a good 3-minute walk from the auditorium door. I asked her, had she just come down? And she said, no, she'd been down about 10 minutes, taking a bathroom break and speaking to the costumer. No one else was helping with lights that night, and the costumer and the only other actor there that night were both in the basement. It's fully finished and is where costumes, props, and some set pieces are kept, as well as where the dressing rooms are located. It's nice they got tons of space. The stage, because a lot of them don't. The stage manager and director were both on the fire escape outside the stage door behind me. I could hear the two of them talking the whole time. And when I looked back up from our lighting designer, the shadow was gone. Just a trick of light, possibly. Unnerving, definitely. I haven't been to the light booth alone since and don't see that happening anytime in the near future. One night during the same show, one actor arrived before the other four. The director, stage manager, and lighting and sound operators were all upstairs, so the only people in the basement were our costumer and this one performer. There were only four people in this show, two women and two men, and as the performer began to head down the hall of dressing rooms, she saw another actor kneeling pressed up against a wall in the corner of his dressing room. Thinking he was trying to scare her, because we all play pranks on each other regularly, and make her drop all of the stuff out of her hands, she loudly said, "Nice try, I see you," and walked past his dressing room to her own. She was laughing, and once she set her stuff down, she stuck her head back in his room to speak to him, but no one was there. My husband and I were the next actors to arrive, and the man she thought she saw didn't arrive until 30 minutes later. He had been kept at work late, so we know for a fact it was not him. She described the figure as being male, with fair skin, dark hair, matches the description of the actor whose dressing room it was, wearing a neutral-colored button-down shirt and dark slacks that looked to be a period correct for the show we were doing, and it was set in the late 30s, early 40s. She thought he was kneeling because his head had only come up to about doorknob height, but when she realized it wasn't the actor, she thought she might have seen a child. Regardless of age, it was obviously male, and my husband was the first male to arrive that night. Interestingly enough, the actor whose dressing room the figure was in is the man whose uncle had been injured at the building. The other stories all happened before I became involved with the theater, but both come from ladies I trust and who I have never known to be untruthful. The first is actually the board director. She was in the theater alone one day organizing some scripts, and she heard a very clear voice behind her whisper, "What is she doing?" She got out of there pretty quickly. The second lady, the costumer, was leaving the building one night after finishing some sewing. Again, she was the only one in the building. The way the building is designed is a long central hall with staircase at each end and rooms off either side of the hall. The costumer was at the side door where one staircase is located and hit the light switch, turning off the hall lights. Right before she hit the switch, she looked down the length of the hall to the opposite staircase. She said she saw a tall man in a dark suit and a top hat standing on the landing. She blinked and he was gone. There have also been unusual instances of things going missing only to turn up days later in a very obvious place or somewhere completely random. So nothing surprising there in a haunted theater, really.
Well, I think we've got it's a double kind of situation between it being an old school and a theater.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think schools, you guys, you just go drive by an old abandoned school sometime at night and tell me that's not haunted.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They all are. They're all super creepy. And they said something about hearing a child or thinking possibly.
Well, the one guy that she saw, it was like, well, maybe, you know, she thought he was kneeling down, but maybe it was just a kid that she saw. But there's no kids in the building, so it could have been a kid ghost. But she definitely saw it.
Yeah. But could it have been you know, could there be children there from when it was a school? A child.
Could be.
You know.
The guy in the top hat. He could have been a principal at the school or a teacher at the school.
Or an actor at one point in a play. You know, if it was later when it became the theater. Yeah, I think definitely. Now, I did look up at the lighting, that Fresnel light that you were talking about. And it is exactly what you think. It's one of those lights that, you know, you aim towards the stage. And it's got the little, you know, side panels and top and bottom panels that you can adjust, you know, change the lighting. It's exactly what you think. So, you know, are we talking about there was once a stagehand?
Well, and that would be really interesting because she can see someone up there. And then come to find out, nobody was up there. And the person she thought it was had never been up there.
Yeah.
At least that day.
Yeah.
That's why I love the haunted theater stories.
I know. And I love that. The woman that walked by the door and thought that somebody was trying to scare her. And she goes, like, nice try.
See, that's the thing. That's how real it is.
Yeah, that she said, nice try. And I think we should all do that whenever we see a ghost, you know, just keep on walking and go, nice try. You know, just let them know. Yeah, nice try.
Didn't get me that time. Try again. But here's the thing.
Nope. Saw ya.
I'm not going to challenge the ghost. Saw ya. I'm not going to challenge him because then it'd be like, oh, I'll show you.
Oh, game on.
Boom. This is easy. I will win every time.
I saw you. Nice try.
Wah-ha-ha-ha. Here's another story. It says, my name is Taylor, and I'm from North Dakota. I'm a graphic designer, and I recently discovered your podcast while trying to find something to listen to while I work. I really enjoy everyone's stories. My story, whether it is paranormal or not, you tell me, happened when I was younger, around the age of 8. Now, that's a lot of pressure because we have no way of knowing. Now, I know this is going to sound creepy, but I lived in a house in southern Minnesota that was connected to a funeral home. I don't remember much from when I lived in that house, except I would sometimes get a creepy feeling from it, especially from the attic and the basement areas. Notoriously haunted locations. The only other thing that she doesn't add is the closet. There was one event, however, that sticks out in my mind. On this particular evening, I remember not feeling well and I fell asleep on the couch. My room and everyone else's bedrooms were upstairs, so when I woke up in the middle of the night, I was all alone downstairs. To give you a little information on our house, our living room was situated at the front of the house near the front door. We also had a built-in porch on the front of the house. And our living room had big windows with sheer white curtains that looked out into the porch area. When I woke up that night, I was facing the window and I remember seeing the shadow through the sheer curtains of a human figure standing on the porch area. At first, I thought it was a person because the door to our porch didn't lock and you had to walk through the porch to get to our front door. So I thought that someone had snuck into the porch, but I remember staring at this figure for a very long time, and it didn't move. I think it maybe moved slightly like someone would if they were just standing. I wasn't sure. Anyway, I stared at it for a long time, trying to decide if it was human or if it was something on the porch that was casting a shadow. After a while of sitting there looking at it, I freaked myself out, and I ran upstairs to my bedroom. The next morning, I peeked out onto the porch to see if there was anything that would create a shadow like that, but I saw nothing since everything we had on the porch sat lower than the bottom of the window. I told my mom about this years later, and she just brushed it off as saying that ghosts don't haunt the funeral home. They haunt where they die or where they have a connection to. I know this makes sense, but the figure looked unmistakably like a human figure. There was a head, shoulders, torso, and the arms hung down by its side, just like someone would do if they were just standing there. I want to know what you guys think. Do you think it was a ghost? Taylor wrote that.
Well, Taylor, let me tell you that I can tell you absolutely, unequivocally, funeral homes can be haunted. Doesn't mean that they every spirit goes back to wherever. I lived in one, and everybody that still is there, works there, has been in that place, will all tell you and have had experiences that there are spirits there. One is a lady. We believe we call her Edith because there's a headstone with the word Edith on it in the back room there. But definitely orbs, the whole bit. So
but
we can dispel that.
I want to jump in, though. Mm-hmm. Now, I think in that building in particular, do the hauntings even have anything to do with it being an old funeral home? You don't know. So any building can be haunted. Now, do the hauntings go back to the funeral home? Maybe, maybe not. You know, your building, there's any number of things that could be haunting it. Could it be the funeral home? Absolutely. Could it be something else? Absolutely. So I don't think you can just discount a funeral home and say, no, can't be haunted.
I agree. I think it totally could be haunted. Now, sounds like even at a young age, she was trying to debunk things here and saying, I'm looking out on the porch. I don't see anything that could make that shadow. Because she went and checked up on it the next day trying to
figure out what she'd seen. Hard to debunk a shadow during the day. You almost have to do that at night.
But if you're looking and you say, well, but there's nothing stacked up high enough to make that happen.
But it could be a shadow could be caused by a tree.
Maybe a tree or something out there. Possibly. I mean, that's possible. It's, you know, I don't know. She was very unnerved by it. That I do know. What do you think?
Just my inner feeling as I read this story, I don't think it was a ghost.
You don't think so?
Huh. I think there was something outside. It might have been a tree. It might have been, because, you know, and it could just be a short little branch that could be hanging down, and the moonlight or streetlight could have cast that shadow. So it could be debunkable. And I think if there was more things that happened there, and there might have been, so maybe if there was another story involved with this story, I would go, oh, yeah, that's weird AF. But this is kind of like just a one-off thing. So it just, I don't get that feeling from it.
Well, the only thing that creeps me out worse than a shadow figure standing there is somebody really standing there.
Yeah, right.
I mean, seriously, you guys, like, it's one thing to have a shadow figure. That's pretty scary. But it's another when there's some creepy guy standing there looking in there.
But so, the fact that it didn't move at all makes me think it wasn't a person.
Okay. That makes me feel better.
So now, you know, I think I would have gone to right off the bat, somebody standing there and ran and got your mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's weird because, but it, when you read this story, it doesn't seem like a, like said that she was really scared and took off running, but said that she looked at it for a long time. I just think that's kind of strange.
I wish you'd have gone back there again a different night to see if it happened again.
Yeah, I think what we need here is more information. Because if it's just this one time, I don't get a feeling about it.
Okay.
Do you?
But I don't know. I think it could be. I'm going to go, Taylor, I think so. Carol's going to go, Taylor, I think not. So we're not helping you out here. But
yeah,
I kind of feel like she had a bad feeling.
And I'm going to say, Taylor,
something was up.
It could have been a tree branch hanging from a tree outside and the streetlight was casting the shadow.
And that
might
make you
feel better. So maybe that'll make you feel better when you sleep at night.
And I'll say, Taylor, I think it was a shadow figure. Now you don't sleep at night. So
poor Taylor.
It's like, sorry.
I hate these women. Like, make a damn decision and stick with it, ladies. Oh, sorry. We don't know. If you like the show and want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. You can do that through applepodcast.com. Try it 3 days free. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.